so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the second hour of the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
3 o'clock hour as we head home for the weekend. During college football season, man, the weekend is a great time to just kick back and enjoy. And during this hour, I want to do a little bit of that with you all. I want you to pick whatever it is may be on your mind. And by the way, I'm going to yap about a few things in a little while that have gone on this week and give you my 2 cents worth, which is probably worth even less than that. But a lot of you have been wanting to talk, and so I want to talk to some of you all. 844-5600 is the number. Let me tell you right now, all of our lines are full. As soon as a line comes open, hello, I'll tell you about it, and you get on there, because I want to have some fun during this 3 o'clock hour. And for me, the fun, actually, one line is open. 844-5600 is the number. Talking to you all is fun for me. Really is. It's what I have loved in sports talk radio. Jeff in Murfreesboro, you're the leadoff batter. Hit a home run. Let's hear it.
What's going on, George?
I'm good. Hope you are.
Pretty good. Is Watson in there, George?
He is gone. I let him and Terry have the 3 o'clock hour off. It is me, myself, and I.
I want to ask you, is he interested in the Tennessee State Athletic Director position? Is he interested?
He has not suggested that he is.
I just didn't know if he'd be interested in having another OVC Athletic Director position. Since he did so well at Tech, I thought he might want to go to Nashville and help them out. So I thought he might want to, but I saw where Teresa Phillips is retiring next year, so I know she's been in a long time, so and everything, but and all that stuff. But
you know, Jeff, I went to school with Teresa, and I am a big Teresa Phillips fan. She probably has not gotten as much credit for the things she has done. If you look through her resume, first of all, I hope she enjoys retirement. I truly hope this is not the end of her athletic life, because Teresa Phillips is a winner, period.
Well, I mean, I don't know her, so I can't say anything about it, George. I just know their football program is not doing very good right now, and I know they've had to transition to basketball and some other sports, so I don't know what they're going to do in the future. But
I'll tell you this, it's not an easy job.
You know, I know it's not in a small school like that. I know. Yeah. So I understand that. But now, George, just want to say you know, I know it's a big college football weekend, and I know I'm a big Kentucky fan. They play Georgia. Of course, nobody's given us a shot, but nobody gave South Carolina a shot either. So they went in there and won. Nobody thought they'd win either. So, I'm not saying they're going to win. I'll be happy if they play with them for a half and maybe in the third, fourth quarter have a chance. That's what I'll be happy with. But as long as they stick Lynn Bowden back there at quarterback, I think they've got a shot. And who knows, you know, they might shock the world again. And wouldn't it be something, George, if Georgia lost two in a row?
No, oh, my God.
Nobody would have thought that. Everybody in SEC media days pick Georgia and Alabama automatically to just be in the conference race. If that happens, Missouri is still in first place.
I know. How about that?
They only played two conference games, but, you know, they'd be in first place. And, you know, I don't know. I guess Florida would probably be in second then. I really don't know. But, you know, it'd be a huge win for Kentucky if they could get it. I don't know. And I know, George, you had Malcolm Turner on earlier in the week. I was talking to him. I know you got a lot of concerns about Vanderbilt in terms of their basketball and football facilities. But I don't know what they can do to them. They're really old and kind of, you know, aging a little bit. So I know Jim, but I don't know if you saw the basketball. I'll just let you go after this, but the basketball polls came out, and of course Kentucky picked to win the men's, and Florida and LSU's the top three, and Tennessee was picked fifth. I know the Tennessee women are picked in the middle of the pack, but I just didn't know what you thought about that, or I know y'all didn't really talk about it too much, but I'll let you go, George. Hope you have a good weekend, go Yankees, I guess.
Okay, excellent. Okay, let me pick one thing that he got into, the Kentucky-Georgia game tomorrow, because it seems to me that Georgia's season is at a little bit of a crossroads. When they lost to Alabama a year ago, they didn't show a lot of character when they let Texas just rip them to shreds in the Sugar Bowl. My guess is that Kirby Smart is going to remind them of that lack of character that they showed at the end of last season. Georgia has the opportunity to do one of two things. They can simply get in a pity party and die like dogs, no pun intended, and do what they did a year ago against Texas, or they can kind of rally under the adversity the way Florida did when Tebow had the team that lost, and then he announced, we're not losing anymore, and they ended up winning, I think, a national championship that year.
2007, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a football crossroads for Georgia. Now, I'm with Watson Brown on one thing. I don't think Georgia has the explosive people on the outside to help Jake Fromm, and I think it showed up in the South Carolina game.
Right.
So we'll see. By the way, got a line open at 844-5600. This is a I want to yap with you all hour and find out what's on your mind. This is one of the real fun things in sports talk radio, is just to kick back and yap. Or as I have said to other people, it ain't pouring concrete. Hawkeye Jason, line one, welcome into WNSR.
Hey, good afternoon, George.
What's going on?
Not much. I heard you guys talking some Big Ten football, so I kind of reeled me in a little bit. You were talking about Michigan. I just remember when I was younger, and I'm going to be 49 this month. I remember in Michigan, you always had a wide receiver that wore that number one jersey. You kind of have that with Donovan Peoples-Jones right now. You always had a really good running game, strong defensive line. It just feels like, you know, as Bill King uses that word identity, it just feels like Michigan doesn't quite know who they are. I think with Jim Harbaugh, I think the big surprise since he's been coached there is the quality of quarterback play. That's probably the biggest surprise to me.
Yeah, it is to me, too, because I really thought Shea Patterson would go in and knock it out of the park, and instead he's been very inconsistent. You don't seem to know from game to game what you're getting out of him, and I'll admit I'm kind of disappointed at that. I thought he'd be better than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at all the quarterbacks, even with Lloyd Carr, yes, we know about Tom Brady, it's quite obvious, but it seemed like almost every Michigan quarterback would get selected in the NFL draft. But it just seems like, yeah, that's what's been the biggest surprise is quarterback play. The thing about Wisconsin, I saw this thing as well, George, with the Wisconsin having four shutouts this year. The four gentlemen on the defensive line, I read that one of them was a four-star recruit, two of them were a three-star recruit, and one of them was a two-star recruit. I mean, Wisconsin does the best at just developing players and knowing who they are. They don't always get the top 20 talent, but just amazing how Wisconsin looks. And like I said, we got one more week till that Wisconsin-Ohio State game.
We lost him there. Jay, if you will, look up, when is the Ohio State-Wisconsin game and where is it? Because that may well this year truly be the Ohio State-Michigan game, the game of the year in the Big Ten. By the way,
the season?
Yeah. By the way, Wisconsin on the road tomorrow, a 31-point favorite at Illinois.
That game, George, is actually next week, October 26th in Columbus.
We're going to find out how good Wisconsin really is. By the way, Lovie Smith at Illinois, I think he's going to get fired at the end of the year.
Mm.
It ain't working.
No.
Now, they played Michigan really tough a week ago, but I don't know. I don't see it. Anyway, 844-5600 is the number. I've got one line open. Trevin on line two. Welcome.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Hope you're well.
Yeah, and good to hear you on the radio again.
Thank you.
A question. Do you think the Titans season is over? And if not, what do you think it's going to take for them to get to the playoffs? What record and who's going to do it? Tannehill or Mariota if he comes back? Just your thoughts about that.
Yeah, hold on with me a minute, okay?
Okay, sure.
First of all, I think they've, under the how can they have a turnaround, I think they've got to have a mindset turnaround. Listen, that little game plan they put together in Denver was pitiful. Now, Mariota made it look worse because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in that game. And this is not the first time his lack of accuracy has reared its ugly head. I mean, if we're honest about it, it's happened a lot over the last 2 years. I know Terry wonders if the injury he suffered when he broke his leg has hurt his ability to drive through the football when he throws it. But anyway, back to what you're asking, they got to have an offensive mindset change. They have got to get more chunk plays than they're getting. And the fact of it is, you say, well, you know, do they have the personnel to do that? Well, up to a point, they might, but they don't ever make an attempt to. And that, to me, is one of the flaws. Arthur Smith has been a complete zero so far as offensive coordinator. I don't see where he's done anything to infuse anything into that offense. And so my first hope is that they start to create a little bit of a mind change. They've got to open up some. If they don't, this is what you're seeing right now is what we're going to get.
Yeah. If they, I would think that if they lose Sunday, their season's over. But if they win Sunday, I think they still have a chance to pull it together.
Well, let me throw this one at you. Would you agree that the young man at Tennessee, Brian Maurer, seems to have infused a life into that program that wasn't there 2.5 weeks ago?
Well, that's
what they need from Tannehill. They need this change of quarterback to infuse a level of enthusiasm and an excitement that hadn't been there. Frankly, they need a big game out of him Sunday, and they need a win, and you know it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hopefully the change will do something to spark the team. That's for sure.
God, I hope so. Thanks.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. The fan base is losing interest. It's dull. It's lifeless football, and you're seeing it more and more in their turnstiles. When they do have big crowds, it's because the visitor is bringing them, not 60, 65,000 Titans fans. And they need something to start infusing some life. They need Tannehill to play well, and they need a change of philosophy in their offensive scheming.
Badly.
Big time. Stan, line three. Oh, by the way, one line open, 844-5600. I love the fact that so many of you are willing to participate. So please jump on in there. Stan, what's going on with you?
Well, not much, George. You hit the nail on the head. I hope that Teresa Phillips, I hope they do something pretty good for her over there, because she really has just flown under the radar. She's just she's handled a lot of problems over there.
And oh, gosh.
There's some problems behind the scene that people probably know that she handled. But she really, I thought she does some good jobs on these coaching hires. Now, on that word with that, is the new athletic director, is he going to be looking at possibly hiring a new football coach? Do you think Rod Reed's in trouble?
Well, let me say this. I think any time you get a change in athletic director, all of your programs get a little nervous because they don't quite know what the playing field is.
Right.
With Teresa, they probably knew exactly where they stood, but the new guy or gal that may come in, first of all, they weren't hired by that person. And anytime that happens, even though everybody will play nice and play in the sandbox, there's a nervousness about that that's undeniable.
Right.
And so Rod Reed's one of them. I don't think at this point Brian Collins, because he's so new to it, has as much to worry about. But, yeah, anytime that happens, you're going to have some nervousness. But here's the bottom line to the TSU thing. Do we really believe that TSU has given their athletic program the resources?
No.
Not I don't either. I don't either.
Right.
I've got a. By the way, I went to a school that I can ask that same question about.
Right. What about? Yeah. Well, that was my next question. Is if this is just an if Malcolm Turner seems like he's wanting to change the landscape. I don't know. We didn't get a lot of answers out of him, but if Derek Mason was fired or let go or whatever, is David Shaw a consideration? Because I tell you what, I think he's on his last leg over at Stanford. Also, I think he would be a good switch, but I just don't know. It's just a name that popped in my head.
Thanks, yeah, George. Thank you. First of all, I was shocked last night by how bad Stanford was.
They looked terrible.
They did look terrible. And the truth of it is, they haven't looked good all year long. Now, they've been anywhere from their second to their third quarterback throughout all of this.
Right.
So that sort of changes, you know, what you can and can't do. They're not going to fire David Shaw anytime soon.
Not after the decade he's had.
No. He will. He's got a cachet out there. They're not going to just roll in and dump him right now.
No.
Now, a couple, 3 years from now, if this continued, that's a different story. I'll say this on the interview. In fact, let me go ahead and hold that. We'll go to the break, and then I want to ask Eric on line one to hang with us. I now have two lines open, and let me tell you what it is I'm trying to do. I want to talk a little sports with you all. There are a bunch of you out there. We don't give you enough opportunity probably to do this, so I try to take the 3 o'clock hour at times and just open it up wide open and just yap with you. So 844-5600, you pick out the topic. We'll talk about it. All you got to do is put in the phone call. And then after Eric's call, I'll give you some thoughts on the whole Malcolm Turner interview and what I think is really going on over there behind the scenes. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Ensworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade coeducational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at ensworth.com to learn more.
Want to say a hello to my buddy James Warren. He was a classmate of mine, 1977 at BGA. He's also the owner of Sir Speedy of Berry Hill, and James joins us. James, what do you want people to know about your business?
Well, here's the thing. If you look anywhere, you can see signage. A business without signage is like a car with a flat tire. It's not going anywhere fast. Sir Speedy Berry Hill can change that. We are a trusted resource for sign design and production. Whether you need trade show displays, banners, posters, directional signs, window decals, wall graphics, you name it, Sir Speedy Berry Hill's sign capabilities can help your business get noticed.
Okay, tell them where you're located, all the particulars.
So we're at 2400 Phelps Avenue off of Melrose in lovely Nashville, Tennessee. Our phone number is 615-832-9511. You can look at us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Email us at print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. We've got you.
Hey, what's your reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. I'll have college football insights from the SEC to the top 25, interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney, Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa of Nashville, and Klein Preston Law Group. Every Saturday morning at 10 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Is the time. You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR, and I've sort of reserved the 3 o'clock hour to do a little yapping with you all out there. I appreciate the calls that have already come in. Got room for two more up there on our little call screener. 844-5600 is the number. You pick the topic and we will yap about it. Eric, line one, thank you for waiting.
Hey, George, I'm going to get to the Titans in just a minute, but one quick baseball thing I wanted to say is it looks like, and of course it's not over yet, looks like it's going to be Houston against Washington in the World Series, which
sure does.
Thinking about the fantastic pitching matchups you could have, and I think Washington has a legitimate shot against the Astros, even though Astros would be heavily favored. But I think another thing that's hurt the Yankees, you may have talked about this before, I guess the pitcher's name is maybe it was Greg Germain, whoever the pitcher was, that got suspended 2-3 weeks before the season ended because of domestic violence.
Herman, yeah.
He was 17 or 18-4, had a shot at 20 wins, and he had an ERA of just over 4. And that has to be a huge loss for something like that to happen. It's going to be interesting to see how that whole situation gets traded out and out and whether or not he'll be back with the Yankees next year.
That's a really good point. I had forgotten about him.
Yeah.
But back on Washington, I mean, let's face it, any team that can throw Max Scherzer, who looks healthier than he did a month ago,
even Strasburg.
Strasburg, who I have thought in the past was way too soft, but is starting to show me the promise that was always there when he came out of San Diego State, and Patrick Corbin, who is a freakish athlete. Those three can stack up with whatever Houston wants to throw out there. This may be a really good World Series.
Yeah, and this team seems to come together, with, especially now with Bryce Harper gone, because you wonder if he's still with this team, would they be doing this? Because, of course, they were struggling at one point of the season, but they got on a roll, and it just seems like, you know, because a lot of people wondered what was wrong with the Nationals. That one, I guess, was the All-Star break. They were either just over or just under 500, and then they just got hot. And just usually it's the hottest team that does it, so it's going to be interesting what happens. Now, George, on to the Titans. I tell you what, I hope Tannehill can do it. And like you said, I agree, you're right. I hope it's not, but I think we're going to see a lot of empty seats for this game. In fact, I think the only two home games left where you might see it full, and that's because opposition fans come here, is Kansas City and the Saints, the home finale. Because the other games are the Texans, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, and this game Sunday. So I think those four games should probably be a lot of empty seats. The thing I worry about, of course, is the offensive line and whether or not they can provide protection for Tannehill, because he's had his injury issues too. And I think he was hurt a little bit last year with the Dolphins, and as well as he, I think, missed pretty much the entire season. And I think he has to be healthy for them to even have a shot. They're talking about sparks of offense, which it seems that he may be giving them, but I just hope that the offensive line can provide protection, or he could get hurt, and you probably have to put Marcus back in there. One last thing, George, and I'll let you go. Did you see the USA Today where they were talking about 19 potential players from the NFL that could be traded, and there were three Titans mentioned: Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry and Delanie Walker. And whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. I'd hate to see those guys leave, especially Delanie Walker. But I wouldn't blame him. He's 35, and with the situation going on with the Titans right now, he could actually go out here to have a shot as a contender, because it looks like the Titans could be in for a rebuilding season.
The last two, I don't buy, and thank you for the call, Eric. I don't buy the last two. I think Walker, I would be very surprised if that happened. I don't see that. Conklin, maybe. Injuries have hurt him some.
I don't think they get rid of Walker due to the fact that he's been a franchise guy for the last 5 years.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. We're talking a lot about Marcus Mariota and he's being benched. Look, the likelihood is we're going to see him some more before this is over.
Oh, yeah.
This offensive line has not shown that they're good enough to keep anybody healthy for long. So, yeah, he's not starting Sunday, but that's as far as I would go in the how long does he sit. Listen, he's one injury away, just like everybody. He's one injury away. By the way, one line open. I love the fact so many people want to talk. 844-5600 is the number. We do have the one line open, so get in there. Vandy Lance, what's going on?
George, how you doing today? I thought I'd give you a shout before I hit my high school game this weekend. But the other day I did listen to the athletic director. I've got to be honest with you, George. I've met him one time before, and I know that don't mean nothing, but you know, when you meet somebody and they're looking over your shoulder as you introduce yourself, it's not a good sign. But I get it. I'm a nobody. But then when I listened to him on the radio the other day, George, I promise you, now I'm not as smart as you. I didn't go to the school I root for like you did.
Well, if you're not, that's scary.
Go ahead.
If you're not as smart, that's scary.
Well, I could. What it sounded like to me, to be honest with you, listening to it from a sidewalk fan view, sound like a politician to me. I mean, I sit there, you know, I was wanting some definitive answers, and he just danced around everything. And I don't look. As long as Watson says he sounds all right to me, Watson Brown, well then I'll go with it. And you know me, George, I fall behind anything they try to do out there. And you know they don't want you around, but then you know you still, I love them and I always will. But that's just my point. If you'll just comment on that, and I'll listen to you off there. And go, Vanderbilt, and like everybody else, good to see you on the radio again, Grandpa.
Nice. Well done there, Lance. Okay, couple of thoughts about the interview. Number one, what could he say? Okay, when it comes to the coaching stuff, and I'm going to tell you what I think here in a couple of minutes, but what could he really say?
Nothing.
Yeah, so let's not particularly hold that against him. Now, he has walked into a ton of problems. Facilities all over the place across the board that don't work, that don't match what peer schools have. They're recruiting at disadvantages, and we all know that, and shame on the school for letting it get like that. But the fact of it is, he's hired basically a firm to try to help him with where do we start. And he said on the air, we're about to meet and get some more specific answers. I expect in the next few weeks, they'll release some info that'll give you a little more on what's happening. Now, what do I really think? I think Derek Mason's in deep trouble. And part of the reason I think that is because I don't see that this team is going to get anything done that would help him. It's why they make you play the games, but do I think they're going to upset Missouri tomorrow? Of course not.
No.
Nobody else does either. They are horrible on defense. They don't know how to use some of their best weapons on offense. Pinckney might as well be missing in action. This is a young man that made the decision not to go pro and come back here, and I'm like, for what? To catch 13 balls in 6 weeks? I mean, shame on them for not getting him more involved.
Or Lipscomb.
Now, does this guarantee that Derek Mason's gone? No. But if I was going to put my chips on one side or the other, I don't like his chances because I don't think this team's going to do anything between now and then to help him.
The only game I can see them possibly winning is ETSU.
Right, and that means nothing.
Exactly.
You know, they need a win or two that means something, which
like,
means...
Like Tennessee, like Missouri.
Win. Yeah, you're going to have to win a conference game or two. The UNLV loss is a damning loss because that's not a very good football team that trashed them. By the way, one line open, 844-5600 is the number. John on line three, welcome.
Hey, George, appreciate it. I had one comment and then one question, and I'll listen off air if you want me to. But
sure.
Take you know, George, in the past, I've listened to you long enough. You always say there's seats available, sections available. I'll take it one step further. After that UNLV game, the stadium was available.
Yeah, the stadium pretty much was available.
The stadium was available. It was pretty bad.
It was awful.
You know, it's the only game I went to all year just because of work situations, but it was pathetic. But my
how many people did you think were there, John?
Well, I know Watson was there too, and I mean, when I walked in, I got there, George, probably late first quarter. Guy gave me a ticket, luckily. I would say 15,000.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, it's a guess. I mean, you know, Vanderbilt Stadium was okay. 15 by the time it, you know, like I said, you could count everybody in the stadium when it was over. But what I question for you is, and I disagree with Johnny. Well, you know, he doesn't think Derek's gone, and I know he's entitled to his opinion because I don't want Derek to be gone, but here's the deal. I think this is – what do you think about this? I think, you know, if Malcolm thinks he can – you know, the best we can do is 5, 6, 7 wins, 5 or 6 bowl game every couple years, then I think Derek deserves a chance to come back no matter what happens. But if he's not thinking – if he's thinking higher, you know, maybe up to Franklin, probably not that good, but I still think Derek had done it, and that's why I think Derek, you know, probably would be gone. So I'll listen off air to see what you think.
John, hold on with me a minute. Well, I think he left. That's okay. This is ugly to say because, first of all, I don't believe that this team is going to get enough done to help Derek Mason between what is today, October the 18th. Yep. Between now and the end of the season, can this team or will this team do anything that helps Derek Mason? I doubt it. I thought they quit on him a week ago, which is a really bad sign this early in the season. There's no reason for them to get beat 34-10 by UNLV. UNLV is one of the worst teams in college football, which means right now so is Vandy. But here is maybe, this is really cynical, but maybe Derek Mason's best shot is, does the athletic department have the money to buy out him and his staff now that they've already had to do this with Bryce Drew? I don't know the answer, but that is one cynical way. If you're trying to make the case for Mason, that may be one of the areas that he may have an advantage, is that they've already fired one and spent a lot of money in a buyout. So do they, as an athletic department, have that money? The school has enough money to buy out the free world, but the school is likely to tell the athletic department, this is your mess, fix it. Now to Wendell on line one. Welcome, Wendell, welcome to WNSR.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Talking about SEC football this week, we got 7-on-7 and only the only cross-division game is Tennessee and Alabama. Now, one thing I'm looking at the schedule this week is everybody's been talking about the haves versus the have-nots in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And except for that A&M and Ole Miss game, it's pretty much 6 of the haves versus the 6 have-nots. But if you're in the same part of the country I am, I think you've probably noticed over the years that one upset happens every week in this conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a second.
I'm not going to give you A&M or the Ole Miss A&M Ole Miss game which of the six is going to be the upset?
Hold on a second, Wendell.
Okay.
Let's have a little fun with this. I love where you've gone with this. This is one of the great things about sports talk radio when you get callers who bring stuff to your attention that you haven't really thought about. Okay, so the list of these games that he's talking about includes, just bear with me here a minute because I'm scrolling down a list of these.
Kentucky at Georgia.
Okay, Kentucky at Georgia. I would say I need to know what Georgia's emotional state is, because if it's not any better than it was a year ago when Alabama beat them in the SEC title game, who knows? Keep going.
Florida at South Carolina.
Okay. Keep going.
Missouri at Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Auburn at Arkansas.
Gotcha.
LSU in Starkville.
Mm-hmm. And Tennessee, Alabama.
Yeah, Tennessee at Alabama.
Okay.
We're not counting A&M and at Ole Miss because that's probably the closest of all of them.
It's got to be Florida, South Carolina, because look, who knows what you're going to get out of South Carolina? Have they spent the last week in party time at the frat house, you know, being told how great they are, or has Muschamp been able to get them on an even keel to say, look, by Tuesday, the celebrating of this great accomplishment is over, and we're on to kicking Florida's butt and starting to rise up in this conference a little bit.
But that's usually not what happens in the SEC. Usually what happens is some have team walks in, you know, with their nose up in the air, and the next thing you know, they got three or four turnovers, and they're losing the game.
Okay, so let's take the Florida side of this. This is sort of a hangover game after the big emotional game in Baton Rouge, right?
Yep.
Okay. Defensively, they didn't get done the kind of things that they thought their defense was capable of doing. LSU shredded them.
And they're going up against a third-string quarterback in Columbia?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I want to see it. I want to know if South Carolina maybe is making a step, you know, in a higher direction in the league. Because, look, anybody that says they thought South Carolina was going to Georgia and win is absolutely lying. You know, short of the president of the school's mother, nobody thought they were going to win there. So now they've done that. And they went toe-to-toe with Georgia. There wasn't anything fluky about it. They just kept going toe-to-toe with them. So now, are they good enough a week later to take one of the real heavyweights in the conference and slug it out with them? I don't know, but at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to turn it on to see.
LSU could be high and mighty going into Starkville.
That's not
a terrible team.
No, I think they rip Mississippi State. I really wonder right now what Mississippi State is, because Tennessee pushed them around a week ago. That wasn't very impressive.
Yeah,
great win for Tennessee, though.
It was, but Mississippi State, you know, thought they could win that game. You know, they were the ones that were walking in with their nose in the air last week. And
yeah,
they could change their attitude, and LSU coming off of a Florida win might not be ready for it. They might not be ready to play football.
Hey, do this for me. Call me next week. Let's compare notes.
All right, man.
Thanks for the
call.
Good
to talk to you.
I love it. We have had full lines the entire hour. That's good stuff.
I've counted 12 calls.
Yeah. So let's do this, okay? We got one more big segment in the hour. And for the first time, all three lines are available. Can we fill those babies one more time and talk a little more sports? I think we can. 844-5600 is the number. I simply ask you to pick the topic that is on your mind, and let's yap about it. We'll go to the break from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports. A winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
And now, Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This salute is from Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling, serving our area with pride for 6 years. They're a name you can trust. For the best in residential or light commercial HVAC installations, repairs, and much more, they've kept it cool all summer. Now let them keep you warm this winter. Give them a call today at 615-339-4699. That's 615-339-4699. Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling. They're people who care.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR SkyCan forecast. For today, slightly warmer than it has been, sunshine with a high 70. Tonight, mostly clear, dipping down to 47. And for Saturday, mostly sunny with a high 72. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
This has been an hour when I've been able to sort of kick back and listen to what you all have out there, and I love it. This is one of the fun things over the years in sports talk radio that I have always enjoyed is the ability to talk to you all. Oftentimes you come with ideas and thoughts that I haven't even thought about, and that's where you really get into some fun. The caller a few minutes ago brought up the SEC games this weekend and how he classified them. I really had not given that a lot of thought. Here's one thing, and by the way, you still got time to get in, and I wish a couple, three more of you would do it at 844-5600, maybe a little lightning round before the end of the hour. Here's one thought for me on Tennessee and Alabama tomorrow night. Number one, I think it's absurd, 8:15 start time. That's what's unfair to fans. Have you ever tried to get out of Tuscaloosa to get back to Birmingham to come toward Middle Tennessee? It's basically one way in, one way out to McFarland Avenue on the interstate. And I just think this is one area where it's gone too far. But it's really interesting to me what's been going on at Tennessee. Since they made the decision to put Brian Maurer in at quarterback, this has been a little different team with a little more zip and a little more pizzazz. You started to see it in the Georgia game. They played the first half about as tough as they're capable of playing. I thought some clock management at the end of the half on Jeremy Pruitt's part made what should have been a 19-14 deficit into 26-14, and you knew it was over at that point. But then a week later, they're really ready to play against, I think, an overrated Mississippi State team. And you know what? They stuck it to Mississippi State. Good for them. So all of a sudden, whether it's the quarterback change that sparked it or not, it sure doesn't seem like it's a coincidence that it happened about the time they made this change. Even though Gerontano ended up playing quite a bit in the game against Mississippi State. So my wish for Tennessee as they try to move up the ladder a little bit is that they didn't have Bama on the schedule tomorrow. Nobody's going to sit here and say to themselves, well, they need to go to Alabama and win. Nobody's going to say that. We know how good Alabama is, and we know what a tough road this will be to hoe. Vegas has got it, what, like 34.5 or 35 is the number on that game. What I do hope happens for Tennessee is that they're able to string together some moments in that game that continue to give you hope, optimism, and that they don't get all beat up in Tuscaloosa, because when this Alabama problem is over with, they've got some games they can win.
Yep.
And unlike Vandy, they are trending in the right direction. They look like a football team that's starting to get their act together. Vandy looks like one that quit against UNLV, and that's really unfortunate because it resulted in the embarrassment against UNLV. My hope for Tennessee is that they go down there. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I think they're going to win. Nobody believes that. I certainly don't. But I want to see some moments in that game that have me saying, wait a minute. You remember Lane Kiffin's first year when they went down there and played with a ton of determination? They lost in a – now, this wasn't as good an Alabama, and this was a better Tennessee than what they are right now. But Alabama had to block a field goal at the buzzer.
112-10.
Yeah. Held on for dear life and won. I'm not saying that's going to happen tomorrow night. I don't think so. But I would like to see, for Tennessee's sake, some moments that have you going, that's pretty interesting. Because once they get through this Alabama mess, they've got some games they can win. Now to the Titans for just a second. It's really interesting to me, and it's a real credit to Marcus Mariota that as bad as he has been, there have been a lot of people that have stuck up for him more than I thought. Now, I don't think many of them have been his teammates, because I think his teammates know there needs to be a change. But I do believe he's going to get another shot at this somewhere down the road, just simply because their offensive line has sprung too many leaks, and you wonder, you know, are they capable of of getting the kind of blocking that Tannehill needs. I don't know. What I'm hoping is that Tannehill will give them the spark that Brian Maurer gave the University of Tennessee. They need a spark desperately. They need something to happen early in that game that gets their crowd behind them. And it's up to Arthur Smith, if he's going to be the play caller, and he is, to give them half a chance, to do some creative things early to give them some momentum. If they do the exact same things they did against Denver, the results are probably going to be the same. They have got to get more creative. They have got to get more chunk plays like they did against Atlanta. We now know that some of that is Atlanta's defense stinks. But who cares? San Diego hadn't set the world on fire either the last few weeks. So hopefully something good will happen.
Yeah, and I think Arthur Smith really needs to have a deep ball in the first quarter. If the Titans can get the ball first, I would take it and just be like, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is our new offense. And if I'm Tannehill, I'm going to try and throw a 50-yard pass to A.J. Brown or Corey Davis and see what happens.
Yeah. Do I believe that's going to happen?
No.
No. No, I really don't.
But if you really want to move heads and get people excited, that's what you need to do.
And right now, they need to start realizing that they are going to have to start getting in the get people excited again business, because there just isn't any of it.
Score first. Get a touchdown on your first drive.
Get the crowd behind you. Let's go to the break at 3:55. We'll wrap this baby up when we come back.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add instant and jackpot to the list, because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Powerball is throwing the ultimate party, and one lucky winner is going to win $1 million. Introducing Powerball's New Year's Rockin' VIP experience. You and a guest could take the trip of a lifetime to New York City, packed with exclusive access to the biggest events in town. Plus, you'll receive an entry for a chance to become the first Powerball millionaire of 2020. Announced live on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. The only way to win is to play Powerball, so get your ticket today. Brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. Visit tnlottery.com for details. Please play responsibly.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Thursday, October 17th, your friends at Pickers Vodka invite you to the third annual Hardest Harvest Celebration and Whiskey Release at Pennington Distilling Company in the Nations. This free event runs 5 to 9 and will feature live music from Rebirth Brass Band, Roots of a Rebellion, and Lady Couch. There will also be games, a kids area, food from Urban Grub, the Grilled Cheesery, and Smoke It All, and of course, your favorite Pennington Distilling Company beverages. To learn more, follow Pickers Vodka on social media.
So you look for pleasant ways to end your show for a week. Adam, grab the microphone just a second. This is Adam Johnson.
Man.
He runs this place.
No, I don't.
It sounded good, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
So you saw what I didn't see last night, but I heard about it this morning, and frankly, I'm even more glad I didn't see it. Ever since I witnessed Joe Theismann's broken leg, which is one of the most brutal, nasty things I've ever seen. Real quick, what did you see last night?
It was the aerial footage camera on the wire, and the sea kind of parted, and here's Mahomes laying on top of his center, and then they come back at a break, and they show a highlight video of the doctor snapping his leg back into place, and whenever they did that, his whole body stiffened up like a stick, and he just started wincing in pain. It looked terrible.
Oh, God.
I hope he comes back, and I hope he's all right. He walked off the field.
He was walking fine in the building.
Crazy.
It was crazy.
I'd ask for the golf cart.
They'd have had to have knocked me out to do that. All of y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you again Monday.